Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about this week in relation to medicine, in relation to overall health and wellness, in relationship to nutrition. That's the theme of this program. You can call us. 888-302-3684 gets you directly into the doctor's office for a brief consultation, whatever's on your mind. 888-302-3684, and we're live across the country sharing vital health information with you. I can't think of a place I'd rather be than right here behind this very microphone sharing important health facts with you. And I'm happy to be back after a week off. I was in Atlanta, GA, last week, attending a board meeting of the Alliance for Natural Health. ANH-USA.org is the website for a wonderful organization which attempts to safeguard our access to clean foods, free of pesticides, free of chemicals, and also assures us access to natural therapies, to vitamins, supplements, and assures also the viability and survival of natural health practitioners like yours truly. So check it out, ANH-USA.org. And so, therefore, I've got a whole lot of pent-up information to put out in your direction. So we'll start. We invite your phone calls, 888-302-3684. But before we do that, here's a stark statistic. One in five adults may be obese by 2025, according to a new survey. Now, you may say, well, that's pretty good. Well, I thought it was, you know, more like half of adults are obese. But that's in the United States. This is unprecedented. For the first time in human history, we've reached an inflection point worldwide where more people are overweight than underweight. Imagine that, because, you know, some of you are old enough to remember, as I am, that when you're sitting around and you're a little kid and you're pushing the, you know, peas around in your plate, and you weren't touching the asparagus or the mashed potatoes, your mom would say, clean your plate. People in Europe are starving. They would invoke the starving masses somewhere in the world. And, of course, that was valid in the early 1950s. Europe was pretty banged up, but then it did a remarkable job of recovering. But then there were always places where people were starving. Then it was Asia, and then it's Africa. And still, indeed, there are major pockets of malnutrition in the world. But overall, the big problem is not enough food. It's too much food. And unfortunately, it's not good and wholesome food, because the cheapest, most available food available worldwide that is accounting for the obesity epidemic is, no, it's not fat. It's refined carbohydrates. And a lot cheaper and more available than animal protein, which is still scarce in parts of the world and expensive here too. Fresh fruits and vegetables, those are pretty expensive. But when it comes to grains, flour products, plenty of those available, especially in refined form. And then, of course, there's the terrible toll that sugar creates in terms of our weight, in terms of our overall health. According to latest statistics of about 5 billion adults alive in 2014, 640 million were obese. And that figure is set to exceed 1.1 billion by 2025, according to the author of the study, Dr. Majid Azadi of the Imperial College in London. Quote, there will be health consequences of magnitudes that we do not know. Okay, so in my opinion, you know, we're very, very focused on the problem of global warming, climate change, and this, you know, whether or not you agree with the science that supports the notion that by 2025, the oceans, or 2050, or certainly by the 22nd century, the oceans will rise and flood our coastal cities. This obesity problem worldwide is a clear and present danger, and it's not even a matter of scientific controversy. The upward curve in weight is very, very dramatic. Among men globally, obesity tripled from 3.2% of the population in 1975. Imagine that, 1970, only 3% of men in the world were overweight. Now it's 11% as of the last time checked, 2014. Among women, it rose from 6% to 15%. And if you average it out between men and women, now 13% of adults worldwide are obese. And so what does that translate to? Each decade, the average adult gained 1.5 kilos. That's over 3 pounds. So decade by decade, from 1975 to 2015, that is a 30-year period. That was the tremendous toll of obesity. I'm sorry, that's a 40-year period. Four decades, on average, each decade, every adult gained over 3 pounds. And they say that the rate of obesity continues at this pace. By 2025, roughly a fifth of men, that's 18%, and women, 21%, will be obese. So this is a very, very scary scenario. Over the past 40 years, according to the author of the study, we've changed from a world in which underweight prevalence was more than double that of obesity to one in which more people are obese than underweight. And where do you think the world's fattest people live? No, not in Mississippi. You might get it wrong. It's in the island nations of Polynesia and Micronesia, where 38% of men and more than half of women were obese. The Japanese recruit sumo wrestlers from Polynesia. That's where they get the heavy hitters. Because the Japanese themselves, they can get upwards of 350 pounds. But for real heavy folks to bounce around those sumo wrestling rinks, they go to Polynesia and Micronesia. Nearly a fifth of the world's obese adults lived in 6 high-income countries. And, of course, the United States leads the list. Also Britain, Ireland, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. What are the stats in the United States? The U.S. was home to 1 in 4 severely obese men and almost 1 in 5 severely obese women in the world. So what are they going to do about this? Well, they got drugs to lower cholesterol, drugs to lower blood pressure, okay. But so far, there's no quick fix for overweight. The article even suggests that stomach-shrinking bariatric surgery may be the answer. Imagine that. In the past, we used to ship food and medicine to underdeveloped countries. Maybe in the future, we'll have to ship bariatric surgeons to those countries to address their problems. Those poor people in that part of the world, they can't even afford bariatric surgery like we can in the rich part of the world. Just get stomach stapled or get a bypass, and we can alleviate the obesity problem. But that's not a solution, not a cost-effective solution, because bypass is extraordinarily expensive. There are major health consequences of gastric bypass. It's not a quick fix, and it's not the answer to our worldwide obesity problem. According to this article, unless waistlines stop expanding, existing drugs for high cholesterol, blood sugar, and blood pressure, quote, will not be able to fully address the hazards of such high body mass index levels. So this is a major worldwide problem, and we need an immediate call to action to address it through healthier lifestyles, healthier diets, and probably not through some magic bullet panacea drug that's going to help people shed pounds. 888-302-3684 is our number. We invite you to join us in the doctor's office to answer your questions. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And we invite you calls. 888-302-3684. We got plenty of time to answer them this hour and next. And I'm an inveterate exerciser. And some people may say, well, you know, it's just a matter of just vanity. You know, you just want to look svelte and thin. And to some extent, that's true. Hey, I cop to it. But there are additional benefits to exercise for the brain, according to a new study. Older Americans who engage in strenuous exercise are more mentally nimble. They have better memory function, and they process information more speedily than do their more sedentary peers, according to a new study. So this is actually one of the reasons why I make a point of exercising, because a lot of my work is mentally challenging. I see patients at the Hoffman Center. They present very challenging dilemmas to me, and I need to be really on my game to stay up with the latest research and apply it to their particular health concerns. I also do a lot of writing, and writing requires precision, focus, and concentration. And it also requires the ability to pull in information from all kinds of places and properly synthesize it in a form that people find readable, enjoyable, understandable. And then, of course, there's this radio program where really concentration, focus, and mental productivity are at a premium. So I really make a point of exercise because my belief that physical exercise helps keep your brain sharp. And so this morning, you know, getting ready for the show, I went to the pool, I swam 80 laps, and got the cobwebs out of my brain and got the blood flowing and circulating. So this latest research, they found that, and these were older individuals, these were individuals over the age of 60. Actually, they had an average age of 71 upon entry into the study. They were an ethnically diverse group of Manhattanites. Interesting, right here in my hometown. And the research was published in the journal Neurology, which is the most prominent medical journal that looks at brain. And so what they found was that these individuals, these over 60 folks, averaged age 71. After 5 years, exercises were the equivalent of 10 years younger than the light and non-exercisers on measures of what's called episodic memory function. So what is episodic memory? That's the ability to recall past experiences and autobiographical information. So what the heck's going on here? Is it the feel-good hormones that are released, the endorphins? Yeah, that's part of it. But much of it has to do with vascular health. Vascular health means freedom from high blood pressure, freedom from atherosclerosis, basically good circulation to your brain. And when the tiny blood vessels that supply oxygen throughout the brain expand due to the demands of exercise, that can help to fend off cognitive decline. Regular exercise is known to keep blood vessels throughout the body in good condition. And so it, therefore, may help to minimize the cognitive decline that comes with age. Now, it's also possible, they issue some cautions in relationship to this. They may say this may be a case of reverse causation. In other words, people who are cognitively healthier, they're better in terms of brain function, they may be more willing or able to undertake exercise. And that, in turn, maintains their brain health. So a correlation isn't necessarily causation, because say you're a broken down 71-year-old, you can't exercise. Well, your body may be deconditioned, and so too may your brain. And so the fact that you can't think straight may not be the result of your lack of exercise. It just may be that you're broken down, feeble and frail. But given its cost-free nature, exercise is a good bet. We know it's going to lower blood pressure. It's going to lower cardiovascular risk. It's also going to maintain lean muscle mass and fend off sarcopenia, which is the muscle decline that occurs with aging and leads to frailty. And also, exercise is often a social occasion. You get together with people, and that's all to the good when it comes to keeping your brain active, healthy, and well-functioning. So get out there and do it, like they say in the Nike commercial, because it's really going to help your brain as well as your body. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. Get in on the conversation by calling us here. This is the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Got glutathione? Probably not as much as you once had. As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that is a very big deal. Why? Because glutathione is your body's master antioxidant. It is unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals, exposure to environmental toxins, and the aging process. The less glutathione in your body, the more vulnerable you are to health issues. Backed by 20 years of published research, RegActive contains ME3, a patented probiotic proven to naturally stimulate the body's own production of glutathione. RegActive is brought to you by Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing award-winning Dr. Ohira's probiotics 15 years ago, and meets the criteria of the same high standards and trusted time-proven results. Revolutionary. Remarkable. RegActive. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. Ohira's probiotics are sold.
If you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news about a new effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease of 10% or more in systolic and diastolic blood pressure. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or TryZonaNow.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And apropos of the benefits of exercise, you know the song Born to Run? Baby, we were born to run. Well, there may be something to it because a new study suggests that love of exercise starts in the womb. Yeah. Moms can influence their offspring's either positive or negative orientation to exercise. So if you're lazy bones, maybe blame your mom because according to a new study, female mice that voluntarily exercise during pregnancy have offspring that are more physically active as adults. So I have a new addition to my family, a new young 4-month-old, and his mother was an inveterate exerciser. She's a personal trainer and swim coach, and she exercised well into the pregnancy. And sometimes I go to the pool and I see these gals swimming, and they got big bellies. They look like they're 7th or 8th month, and they're churning up, doing laps in the pool. And that is all to the good. It's amazing how physically active you can be well into your pregnancy. And that may have implications for your offspring. Very positive, traits may be passed along. The researchers found that the mice born to mothers that exercise during pregnancy were about 50% more physically active. 50% more physically active than those born to mothers who did not exercise. And importantly, their increased activity persisted into later adulthood and even improved their ability to lose fat during a 3-week voluntary exercise program. So it's kind of like, you know, exercise for yourself, exercise for your baby, because you can improve pregnancy outcomes. You can certainly get ahead of that sometimes, you know, 40, 50, 60-pound weight gain that you experience during pregnancy. The pounds are hard to shed afterwards. But you'll also have long-term benefits for the child. Good stuff. 888-302-3684 is our number. And say you don't choose to call us during this program, you still can pose your question. Send it to radioprogram@AOL.com. Radioprogram@AOL.com gets your question to us, and we won't answer all questions by email. No, we can't field all the inquiries, but we will use your question as grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla, which is a feature that we post at drhoffman.com. It's available on iTunes along with our other daily podcasts. Good stuff. Get your question answered via radioprogram@AOL.com. All right, file this one under The Cat Made Me Do It. The cat made me do it. And this could actually be a new legal defense. Remember the Hostess Twinkie defense? There was a guy who shot a supervisor in San Francisco. Oh, way back. It must have been in the 80s. And the claim was that he was deranged because of blood sugar fluctuations caused by his addiction to Hostess Twinkies. Well, according to this, the cat could lead you to experience bouts of intense anger. Yeah. This is a disorder called IED. Appropriately enough, you know, kind of same initials as those terrible explosive devices that have maimed and killed so many of our service people in the Middle East. IED stands for Intermittent Explosive Disorder. This is no joke. This is actually a documented psychiatric disorder. And it turns out that there's a very strong correlation between infection with Toxoplasma gondii, which is a cat-borne infection. It's actually, you get it by cleaning out contaminated kitty litter. It can be a very serious brain infection, although it is sometimes simply carried by people unawares. They don't have such a serious case that it comes to light that they have a toxoplasmosis infection, but they may be affected. They may be affected mentally and emotionally. IED is characterized by verbal or physical aggression. It is believed to afflict up to 16 million Americans. Wow. So, you know, you can clean out the cat litter and you suddenly find yourself very prone to inexplicable bouts of anger, explosive aggression. You can blame the cat. The authors, however, are unclear whether this is specific causation. They caution that people shouldn't be getting rid of their cats out of fear. But the suggestion is that this infection it resides in the brain. This is a parasite that gets to the brain and can cause changes in behavior. And so there's some very interesting examples of how alterations in the intestinal bacteria, the bacteria that inhabit your body, can affect mood, can induce anxiety, depression. And here's a clear-cut example of how a parasite can hijack your brain and emotions. All right, let's take a call now from David in Iowa. How you doing?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Doctor. Okay. I have a question about, you were talking about age a while ago, you know, on how to be in better health and so on and so forth. I was wondering, they've done studies, I think, somewhere in the world, and they took a survey on who are the, what country or what area are the oldest people and what their diets are, and if that has anything to do with their longevity, or have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I think this is called the Blue Zone Study. And what they found is that there are blue zones in different parts of the world, you know, like small isolated villages in Italy and Greece, places, I think Formosa or Okinawa is one of the areas that has a high percentage of centenarians, and they keep coming up with new ideas. Recently, there was the idea that there's a cluster of villages in Italy where they consume a lot of rosemary, which we know has beneficial polyphenols, and there's a very high percentage of centenarians in that village. Well, you know, it could be attributed to a lot of things. It could be attributed to exercise. It could be attributed to other aspects of diet. It could be attributed to the good social interaction that intact societies have. You know, in America, we suffer from a lot of isolation. People get older, they don't live with their families. In traditional cultures, people often live, you know, in multi-generational households, and they have a lot of social interaction. They take care of their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And that may be the elixir of life to help people live well past 100. And usually when they do these studies, they don't find that one single diet is beneficial. They do find that there are some commonalities. You know, is it a vegetarian diet? Is it a high-protein, low-carb diet? Usually what they find is that it's a diet that consists of really whole foods that are without adulteration, without added chemicals, and that people eat sparingly and are not overweight, and that they have a high degree of physical activity and mental stimulation. And that you can read about in the Blue Zone books. It's a series of books which talk about parts of the world where they've done research on longevity.
Well, I have a real problem with that chemical stuff in the food. My wife, she brings the stuff home from the grocery store, and it all tastes the same. It all has this chemical in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but I tell you, you know, after I eat it, I smell like it. I taste it in my mouth. And I said, these people are poisonous, you know, or slowly.
Well, absolutely.
With whatever stuff they're putting in the food. And, you know, I've called them 800 numbers to these companies. I said, hey, would you slack up on this preservative? You know, the chicken tastes like a steak. The egg tastes like a banana. I mean, you know, it's just crazy. And
well, absolutely. I think you're right. And, you know, what you can do as a consumer is you can vote with your feet And you can, you know, walk away from foods that are laden with additives and try to go for natural foods. So parts of the country, it's a little harder. Where some people live in what are called food deserts, where there are not a lot of natural food stores. But more and more, that food is accessible. And even if it's not accessible in your local grocery store, you can get food drop shipped to you from places that specialize in clean, natural food. So it's easier and easier, I think, to... you know, walk away from it. Just walk away from it. And hey, thanks, David, because you've helped me tee off on something that's coming up, which is a new story I'm going to share with you in a minute. In a world made toxic, nearly a quarter of all human deaths are caused by pollution. So I hope that your wife is listening, because maybe she'll do a little smarter shopping and not do you in with all the toxic food. How about that?
Thank you so much.
Thanks for participating. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 gets you into the doctor's office for questions on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal, or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And this one's for you, David, because you were concerned about toxicity. And here's an update on the terrible toll that toxicity is taking worldwide. In a world made toxic, nearly a quarter of all human deaths are caused by pollution, according to the latest study. A new report from the World Health Organization says that contaminated water, polluted air, chemical waste kill 12.5 million people annually. That is a terrible, terrible toll that's exacted by environmental devastation. And I think that's a gross underestimate, in my opinion. I think that there's a lot more to it. The subtle effects of the chemicals that they add to food, the smog, clearly cause more than 12.6 million deaths annually. But I guess what they're looking at is they're looking at the very, very clear-cut toxic effects. Air pollution, for example. Air pollution accounts for 8.2 million annual global deaths, about two-thirds of the total. And you only look at a photograph taken midday in a summer month, or a winter month for that matter, in a place like Shanghai or Beijing. You can cut the air with a knife. Stroke was found to be the world's biggest killer in terms of environmentally related deaths. How is stroke related to the environment? Clearly, there is an effect on the circulatory system when people experience environmental toxicities. It can cause damage to the arteries, can cause heart attacks. The report calls for clean technologies and fuels for domestic cooking, heating, and lighting, which would reduce respiratory infections. In many parts of the world, they still have wood-burning stoves or coal-burning stoves. And, you know, talk about indoor air pollution. Here we have to worry about, you know, if we use like air fresheners or Glade or, you know, mosquito sprays. But in many parts of the world, people live in smoky dwellings and breathe in all that crap. And that has devastating effects on their respiratory tracts, ultimately on all parts of their bodies. So we just had an environmental disaster in Flint, Michigan. That's the tip of the iceberg of a worldwide phenomenon of lead toxicity. A lot of lead toxicity in parts of the United States, which have aging infrastructures, pipes, paint, water supplies that, you know, are laden with toxic chemicals. All right. So let's take a call now from Chris in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Hey, Chris, are you gearing up for that primary in La Crosse?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right.
Yes, it's going to be pretty interesting in Wisconsin. There's it might be a close call.
Indeed. They're pouring so much money into Wisconsin that, you know, they should just give you checks. They should just each give you $10,000, and because that's about the size of it in terms of the amount of money they're pouring into that little state. So,
well,
anyway.
Getting out of hand.
It is.
I guess, yes, it is. But my question, Dr. Hoffman, is when I was younger and still I'm in my 50s, I've always had this condition for blushing,
mm-hmm.
red face. You know, I might not even be out in the sun, and somebody will say, boy, you must have had quite a burn there or something, you know. And I just would like to know, is that a serious condition, or is this something that I just had to live with? You know, and does anxiety or stress cause a lot of that?
It does to some extent. I mean, there may be several reasons for that. I mean, one is there could be an allergic component to this, but do you find that there's any type of food precipitant to your flushing?
I haven't narrowed it down to anything yet.
Okay, because I recently
drink coffee.
Yeah, I recently wrote an article about histamine intolerance, and sometimes blushing, rashes, flushing is a sign that a person is overloaded with histamine. And sometimes by being on a low histamine diet, you can address this. But sometimes blushing is of the same order as something called hyperhidrosis, which is uncontrolled sweating. And what it is, it's a autonomic disorder. In other words, it's a disorder of the part of your nervous system that's not under voluntary control. That, you know, when you're stressed or when you're subject to extremes of temperature, the blood vessels kind of open up like floodgates and allow blood to rush to the surface of your skin. And so this is actually something that, you know, sometimes is treated surgically. There's a type of surgery that is done to literally cut some of the autonomic nerves that have a gating effect on blood circulation. It can be an effective surgery, and it's usually only used for the most extreme cases. Is it harmful? Does it portend any serious health problems? Well, not usually. You need to get a complete medical checkup and rule out some oddball conditions that are associated with flushing. I can think of one, which is a type of tumor called carcinoid. So if you have a new onset of flushing, you ought to get checked out. But if it's a lifetime problem, it suggests that that's just kind of the way you were made, you know, that that's a little bit in your nature. And it can mm-hmm. be addressed with, you know, if you're really, you know, very concerned about it, because it can be socially constraining, embarrassing, and debilitating, you know, then you can actually see someone who might do the right type of surgery to literally cut the nerve connections that have an impact on flushing and blushing. The same is done for people who have tremendous sweating. They have hyperhidrosis. They have, you know, they sweat right through their clothing immediately. Their palms are extremely sweaty. And there's a type of surgery that can be done fairly successfully to address that type of sweating. And this condition, the blushing, is sometimes akin to that. But we have to kind of discriminate among those, you know, maybe see a dermatologist, somebody who specializes in dealing with skin problems. And get a proper diagnosis. Make sure that, you know what type of problem this is. Have you done that yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I guess you suggested just some exercise to kind of relieve some tension now and then.
Well, exercise will relieve tension, but it will certainly give you a red face. So maybe that's
yes.
You know, not the answer. You know, I mean, and don't think that it's all about you're a nervous Nelly. You just may be wired in that way, because otherwise you're going to get upset that you're so subject to stress, and you're going to feel like, oh my goodness, it's my fault. It's not really your fault. It's kind of the way you're wired. It's a genetic issue, and we're all subject to stress. It's just that, you know, we manifest our stress differently. Some people have heart palpitations. Some people have back spasms. Some people have headaches or migraines. And you send all your blood to your face, And that's the problem with you. So, you know, find out if there's a fix, and probably a dermatologist at a, you know, good university hospital would at the very least be able to know where to refer you if you want to consider therapy for this, because it's debilitating. It's not dangerous. You're going to, at this rate, you're going to live a long and miserable life. You know, life won't be curtailed by it, but it's socially constraining. Sure. All right. Well, give it a shot.
Thank you very much, doctor.
Yeah. Check back in with us when you get a verdict on it. Thank you very much for joining us for this hour of the program. We got lots more to share with you in the next hour among the stories we're going to tackle. Could natural sauerkraut be the solution to shyness in young adults? We'll explore that story and others, and we invite you to call us. 888-302-3684 is the number. We got an entire hour to field your questions on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.